Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on today's episode. I'm so excited to have you here. And I have with me Miss Sophie Lechner. If I said that correctly, I'm doing my best. I'm so excited to have you here as part of the podcast today. So tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and give us a little bit of background as to what got you into it.
Yeah, thank you, Kat, for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate. So I'm Sophie Lechner. I'm a LinkedIn coach. I'm here in New Jersey. I help solopreneurs on a mission to find their audience and engage with their audience on LinkedIn, so they can spread their message and grow their business at the same time.
I absolutely love that. And tell me, because I think, and I know we talked about this before, but I didn't realize how powerful LinkedIn could be, especially for entrepreneurs. And it's something that I've been learning since I've kind of divvied away from Facebook and Instagram, to not saying that they are bad platforms, right? But I do believe that LinkedIn is a little bit more professional social wise. So what got you into LinkedIn and wanting to be a LinkedIn coach specifically?
Yeah. So what got me into LinkedIn is when it first launched, I was in global marketing with a big pharma firm at the time. And I've always been very international. I'm half French, half Pakistani. I've always been surrounded by international people. And the idea that I could now have this platform that helps me to not only connect with all the people that I already know, but like discover new people across the world was just like so fascinating to me. So I jumped right in and started having conversations, and it was just a hobby for me, honestly. I did connect with people at work, but it was really mostly just the discovery of whole new worlds, you know, through this tool. Mm-hmm. And I continued using it throughout the years. When I started my own business in 2012, it was to help companies do business globally. And so I recruited my entire faculty for that program from LinkedIn. Then I met them in person and all of that, but it was all through LinkedIn, and just used it extensively. The whole company was based on that. And then during the pandemic, what happened was a lot of people were just stuck in terms of their business development, right? There was no networking events, and people were like sort of scrambling, a little bit panicked. My business, of course, was a little bit at a standstill at that point. And so I said, I'm going to offer LinkedIn coaching to whoever wants. And through that process of about 50 to 60 coaching sessions with all kinds of entrepreneurs, I discovered, much to my surprise, that not everybody had sort of grown up with LinkedIn and knew how to use it the way I did. I just discovered the extent of the, you know, lack of awareness of the possibilities, lack of understanding of, you know, since I grew up with it, kind of, I don't realize all the subtleties, but there are quite a few. So anyway, people kept telling me, well, you know, you're doing this really well, you should do this as a business. And after about a year, year and a half of the pandemic sort of dragging its feet, right? I said, well, 100% business and coaching, working with entrepreneurs with this tool that I love, what's not to like? So I just launched, I put a package together, and here I am.
I love that. And, you know, it's funny too, because I was just talking to someone the other day, and they were kind of saying the same thing in regards to their passion is, if you love what you do, then what you do doesn't really seem like work, right? Because you're enjoying it and you're getting to help mm-hmm. other people. And so there's a passion behind it. And it's a lot easier to stay away from burnout or feeling like we're missing something, right? If you're really in something that you enjoy. Now, you said that there are some differences between like LinkedIn and Facebook and all the other things. Can you give me some examples? Because I don't think that a lot of people realize
how to utilize LinkedIn?
Yeah. So the first and biggest difference is that LinkedIn, I mean, it's huge. It's got almost 900 million people on it now. Not everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. So it's that it's a really professional space. So let's not misunderstand professional as, you know, corporate, stiff and all of this.
Yep.
But what I mean is, you know, you don't really have grandmas just exchanging pictures of their grandkids or, you know, knitting clubs. So just, you know, to exaggerate. But so it's really about professionals, but in a very broad sense. So you have healers, you have astrologers, you have corporate people, you have entrepreneurs, authors. So that's the first difference. The second is, I lost my train of thought. Yes, no, that the income level of the people that are on LinkedIn is two or three times on average the income of people on Facebook. So that's kind of important when you're, you know, a coach or a professional, you have a service to sell.
Yeah.
You can aspire to higher rates just simply from being on LinkedIn and speaking to this audience versus a Facebook audience, the average, you know, prices of products. So those are some differences. And then, you know, there's others, but those are really the ones that make. And then, you know, the other thing is also on LinkedIn, you have so many tools. Like you can use it for market research. You can use it for prospecting. There's all these search parameters you can use. Yeah, so there's just a lot that you can do from a business perspective that really you can't do on Facebook.
Okay, I love that. And I didn't know that you could do market research on there. That's interesting because I'm always looking for different ways to search, right? Studies that have been done and things like that. And I mean, while you can Google it, right, you're going to get everything out of the blue that isn't really a real study that you can't trust. And then it's really hard to kind of like break that down to define that.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things you can do. You can do, you know, there's primary market research where you're actually talking to people yourself, getting the information you want, and then secondary reading sources, other sources of data, right? So secondary market research, you can definitely do a lot. Like you said, you can do it on Google, but this is going to be more specific. And then you can connect with the authors of, you know, McKinsey reports or whatever it is and sort of get more of the behind the scenes and really fine tune your research that way. And then you can use it for primary market research where you can, you know, filter through your own connections to see who might be interesting to speak to in terms of your potential audience. Or you can also use search parameters. And then you have to do some cold outreach, which is a little tricky, but, you know, at least there's that. And that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting. I did not know that. So now I'm going to have to go look on LinkedIn. We might have to chat later, Sophie. So absolutely. That's really awesome. And I agree with you 100% when you said that when you're talking about LinkedIn, you're not talking about the white collar corporate, right? Because I know for me, when I was originally introduced to LinkedIn 12 years ago, even, I don't know, it's been a while. That was kind of my thought process is it's for business people, but it's really for those that are looking to find certain jobs and people that are looking to hire you. And, you know, you had to have a certain resume or this is where they would look you up. They wanted to find you to really understand who you were. And my husband, who's in IT management, project management, things like that, he's always used LinkedIn. So when we got to talking about it, he was like, why don't you use it? And I was like, because I'm not in corporate. And he was like, there are so many things. So he's actually the one that reintroduced me to it, to understand that there are so many more things within LinkedIn and the connections that you can make on there, in my opinion, are so much more profound. Yeah. And it's, you can find the correct people that you are looking to connect with through there versus a platform like Facebook groups, where sometimes it gets really catty, in my personal opinion, in some of those groups. And then no one ever sees your DMs, right? Or your message, because it won't even show it. It goes to a completely separate file. Yep. You kind of get lost in all of the things. So it's interesting. I really do think that LinkedIn is definitely more of a business tool, while Facebook and Instagram, right, depending on who you're marketing to, who your audience is, can be used, in my personal opinion. I have really seen the difference in using LinkedIn versus Facebook. And I notice, and tell me if this is something new or old, because I'm not sure, but I started noticing that there's groups on LinkedIn.
Yeah, so there have been groups for a while. They're a little bit clunky in comparison to Facebook groups. The functionalities of Facebook groups, I have to say, are still really good. So, you know, the fact that you can almost put a course on Facebook, you can have these different threads. So the groups have more functionalities, but LinkedIn groups are great. There's I would venture to say millions of them. A lot of them are not active, and I wish LinkedIn would just do a little bit of a cleanup job there. There's a lot that are, you know, but yes, there are groups, and you can create your own group. It's quite a bit of work to, you know, get that going, but there are different ways you can use groups that are interesting. But no.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I find that the back to one of the other points that you made is that on LinkedIn, you can have, I would say, deeper conversations, you know, more, again, I hesitate to use the word serious, but, you know, you can really get into some in-depth, really interesting conversations via the comments, via the posting and all of that. And although you will always have a little bit of cattiness or meanness, I honestly don't find a lot of it on LinkedIn. And when it happens, like, the people on there are really good about just shunning the person who's got these, you know, negative opinions and saying, you know, just like, go away. Block and all those things. But I really honestly don't find a lot of that. People are very respectful, collaborative, sharing. It's just really a nice place to be.
No, I will definitely agree with you on that one, because I have noticed that since I've been posting more on there and I've been putting videos up and things like that, you do get a different type of response, where some of the other platforms are a little bit more shallow or superficial, I guess you could say. And it is a different type of conversation. Even when a lot of people respond, it's a different conversation. It's not necessarily just a yay, go you, or congratulations. You know how Facebook's got all the little things that pop up for you to put in, so you don't have to actually type anything. LinkedIn does require you to engage a little bit more, which I find really interesting. And that was something I actually learned not too long ago about, for those that like to pre-schedule their posts and things out. LinkedIn does not like that. Like, if you have a third party company that is pre-posting for you because you're scheduling it out, you need to make sure they've gone through the proper channels with LinkedIn, or if LinkedIn catches wind of it, from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, they'll shut your account down.
So they could shut your account down. I'm not sure that they do it that much, but it will definitely hurt your visibility with the algorithm. Interestingly though, relatively recently, a couple of months, LinkedIn has rolled out their own scheduling. So of us, not everybody, but I think it's going to roll out to everybody very soon. If you look in when you click to start a post, if there's a little, just before the send button, there's a little clock looking thing, that means you have the scheduling option.
Oh.
Which is great, but I also want to share a caveat, like a caution. It is very convenient, but it's super important on LinkedIn to really be engaged with the content and with your audience. Yeah. So if you're going to schedule it because you have, you know, a meeting at a certain time, but right after your meeting, you're going to come in and engage, then fine, go ahead and use the scheduling. But I think it's really dangerous for people. It's a slippery slope. Like, you might start scheduling your posts, and then, you know, set it and forget it. And that is not going to give you any results whatsoever.
Yeah.
So it's really important to keep with engagement. I'd say, you know, engage 3 times as much as you post, you know, comment 3 times as much as you post, if not more.
Okay. That makes total sense. And you know what? That to me works across all your platforms anyway. If you're just scheduling things, or even if you're posting them yourself, if you're just posting it to post it and you're not doing anything else, the algorithm is going to get messed up as well, because that's what all of these platforms are looking for, is for people to engage. And that doesn't mean clicking the like button 50,000 times, like actually commenting, actually engaging. So, and I know that I've talked with several other people that are really into social media as a way to build their business. And so what they have started doing is planning out, let's say, an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon, just to go through the platforms to engage, so that they have the time for it and it's not interrupting the other things that they have to get done during the day.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's absolutely the way to go. That's what I tell my clients to do as well, is just, you know, start with 15 minutes. I always say, you know, download the app on your phone and do it while you're having your coffee. You know, it's the way to kind of pair it with another habit. And to pair it with a habit that gives you pleasure. So it becomes, you know, a relaxing thing you do. Because what happens a lot with my clients is that they're like all hung up on their marketing. It's like, I've got to do this and the IG this and the Facebook that and the LinkedIn this. And if you engage with LinkedIn in that manner, it just is just not going to work for you, because you have to have the pleasure of the interaction. Otherwise, it's just not going to be sustainable. You know, and the authenticity of your curiosity and the comments you're going to make and all of this, it has to come from your heart. So if you've got this really strict, like, I'm doing my marketing now for 30 minutes, you know, it's just not the right mentality to go into it with.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And it's funny that you say that too, because one of the things that I started doing, because social media to me was such a distraction, but also an irritation for the longest time before I got into business. And I wasn't using it correctly either, right? And so I found myself scrolling and commenting, but not really being smart about what I was doing. And so one of the things that I did was I turned off all my notifications on it, because I hate notifications on my phone. I've talked about this before. And I started scheduling out during my lunch break. So I take, if I can, I actually schedule a whole hour for my lunch. Yes, it probably takes me about 20 minutes to eat, but I do that so I can enjoy a hot tea, enjoy my food. And then that's what I do, is spend that time strategically going through the platforms and commenting. And actually what I find it ends up doing, because I've started doing that, is it's a really unique way to get my brain going again for the afternoon, and a really great way, if you do it correctly, to kind of jumpstart, if even if your morning kind of failed, or if you feel like it was kind of crappy, it's a great way to jumpstart that gratitude. Because, and this is how I do it, so just a recommendation, if you're on it and you're going through and you're posting for people and you're commenting, as you're scrolling through other people's things as well, you should be silently congratulating them. And, oh, I'm so glad she did that, right? So I try my best to do that when I'm posting, when I'm commenting, or even when I'm going through, so that I'm celebrating other people. And I find that that is, it's almost like a type of meditation. It's a really great way to kind of reset for the rest of my afternoon. And I go into the next meetings or into the rest of the day feeling a little bit lighthearted, even if my morning was a little bit stale.
I love that. I think I might borrow that, you know, because I've talked about, you know, using LinkedIn as a something you do with your coffee and snack and relaxing and having fun. But taking it to the level of meditation is a whole, that's a whole other level of, you know, loving LinkedIn. But I know what you're saying. I really like the thought of expressing gratitude, not necessarily expressing congratulations to everybody, but like you said, internal gratitude, which we know impacts our brain. So I think that's lovely. I really like that. It is inspiring to see what people are doing, right?
Yeah, I do. And that was something that I tried to use in the very beginning, because in the very beginning, whether it was on social media or out in public, I know for me, I had a really hard time congratulating other people, right? I was at a stage where it was like, I knew where I wanted to be, but I wasn't even really close, and things felt like they were falling apart. And so instead of continuing to almost be jealous of other people, I really wanted to shift that mindset and get more in that positive state. And so that's what I started doing on social media. Even when I was scrolling through my friends, I'm like, oh, congratulations. Your baby's so cute. You guys are so cute together. Like I would say it to myself, but I started doing that even when I was in the car. So if I'm driving, I try to not get in that habitual state of driving where your car knows where you're going and the subconscious knows where you're going, but you don't. So I try to look around and watch other people and watch driving. Don't worry, I'm safe, people. But what I will find myself doing occasionally is I will catch a car coming by that, let's say, has some issues with the front end, right? Or maybe the door is kind of partway smashed in. And I'm like, I really hope that you are able to get that fixed. And I'm so blessed that I'm not in that situation anymore. And I went through a lot of years where I struggled tremendously due to abuse and starting over in that. But I use it as a piece to kind of reset my mind, but also bring me to a state of presence to remember where I am at and how blessed I am. I saw a lady this morning when I was taking my son to school. She was in the turning lane next to me, and I could see that she was exhausted. And she was kind of taking a nap at the lights. I can't kind of see her. So when the light turned green for her to turn and she finally turned, I just said to myself, I said, I really hope she has a fantastic day. And today is extremely enlightening for her. Like I really try to push that out there in the world to shift my mindset in how I see things. And it really does help with, even when I'm having a bad day, it's not necessarily a bad day. It's a bad moment. And it's easier for me to come out of that where before something could happen and it would just destroy everything. Right. I know a lot of people deal with that.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I had a client one time who came to me and she was just like, hey, like a lot of people come to me and they're hating LinkedIn. They know they need to get on. They end up loving it. But this person was used that expression, compare and despair. And I think that's what you were, you know, experiencing earlier on.
Yeah,
it's really easy. Social media in general, of course, but on LinkedIn too, when you start looking at entrepreneurs that are doing something similar to you, and you might start thinking, oh, you know, how am I going to differentiate and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I really, really love that you're doing that because, you know, it's the same with everything. We can decide what our thoughts are going to be, and our thoughts, you know, lead to our emotions and lead to our actions. And so, having this attitude with which, you know, you approach LinkedIn and everything you see on it, I love it. And I love the mindfulness that you just mentioned.
Thank you. Now, let me ask you this. If you had someone that was interested in expanding to LinkedIn, what would be some of the first things that you would kind of help them with? Or what are some of the first kind of like questions that you kind of commonly see with people that are looking to expand onto that platform?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the whole philosophy is what I would start with, right? So look at LinkedIn as a way to attract your customers to you, as opposed to, you know, going and fishing them out or, you know, trying to find your clients and push your message. So and my whole method is called the magnet method because it's based on that, right? Attracting your clients.
Yeah.
And so the whole concept is you want to create your magnet and everything will revolve around that. And your magnet starts with your profile. So, you know, having a profile that's really compelling, that really shows not only who you help very clearly, what you do, how you can help them and the outcome you can bring them. Of course, that's central, but also really making sure that your why, your passion comes through. Because, you know, we were talking about compare and despair. There's a lot of entrepreneurs that are coaches. There's a lot of coaches out there, right? Love life coaches. It's a lot of all these different things, but there's only one of us, right? So our own passion, our own story that led us to what we are doing now is unique to us, and it's going to inform everything that we do for our clients. So zeroing in on that, first identifying that for ourselves, which is not always easy. And I love doing that work, by the way, with my clients. So finding that and then expressing that in a way that's really concise and compelling. So that's the first thing to do, is really your profile. And then from there, and it, you need, don't need to wait until the profile is all ship shape, you can start right away, is going and commenting on other people's posts in general. Just get your feet wet, start commenting, start just, you know, having that interaction happening. And then when you're ready, you can start posting. And, you know, so those are kind of the steps. But starting from the philosophy of just attracting people to you, so that whenever they see your comments somewhere, they come to your profile, then you take them on a journey, right? So they see your banner, they see your headline, your about section, your featured section. You should create one where you have your, you know, your main things there. And you take them on a journey very gradually through your content, so they get to know, like, and trust you. And then, you know, slowly take them to a point where they get in touch with you. And the whole goal of LinkedIn is to get on conversations. You know, if you're an entrepreneur, you want to use LinkedIn as a platform, your end goal should not be number of connections or number of views, whatever like that. It's the number of conversations you're going to have. And the conversations come from all this that I just explained, the engagement, the posting, and getting people to that point where they get curious and they want to learn more about you. And then they get on a call, and then it's up to you what you do with that.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And when you were talking about, you know, your profile section and putting some of that information in, would you say that try to keep it short and simple? Because I do see that some people, especially like in the bio section, it's like this huge paragraph of explaining like everything and all the things going down the list. I know for me personally, I'm not very great at reading through all that stuff. I kind of like scan through it if it's super long, just being honest, people. So I have a really hard time understanding it. But I mean, since you deal with it a lot more as well, what would you suggest for those that are creating that piece and putting in their bio and adding in that stuff?
Yeah. So the maximum length of that about section is 2,600 characters. So I don't know what that is in words, but I should, right? Like maybe 300 words or something like that. Anyhow, so that's the max limit. I like to use all of that because I think there's a lot to be said. But what you want to do is structure it in a way that is easy to read, and you want to have white space. You want to make, you said skim, right? So you want to give people a map of how to skim, right? So you want to have little titles, for example. You want to use some bolding, which there's websites you can get to create bolding that you can't do on LinkedIn. You want to use a little bit of visuals to take the eye. So you want to have a short testimonial. You want to have your story. Of course, you start, like I said, you know, with who you serve and how. So there's ways to use that space in a way that's going to convey all the different aspects you want to share and also make it really easy to read. So yeah, some people have this block of text that is just not very conducive to being read, but it's better to have more information for your viewer, just if it's organized properly, than have just two lines. You know, if you have very little information, the person's just not going to have anything to hang on to, and they'll just move on to something else, right? So you want to really grab people.
No, that makes total sense. And I love that you said kind of breaking it up as well. I know anytime that I have to write an email, or if I do a post that's really long, I always break it up into sections, because I do realize that a lot of people will do what I do, which is kind of skim, but they'll catch the first couple of words or something within that phrase. And then that's the section they read. They may kind of skim down and catch something else, right? And so I do try to separate that so that it doesn't look like one big, huge blog.
Yeah, I'm always ranting and raving about the wall of text, you know, the wall of text post. So the maximum length of a post in LinkedIn is 3,000 characters. It used to be 1,300, which is just a couple short paragraphs. Wow. I don't know for the life of me why they changed that. I really, so I tell all my clients, just 1200, stick to 1200 and you'll be fine. And
okay,
it's easier and harder, you know, sometimes when you want to say something, it's harder to make it in 1200. But if you have more to say than 1200 characters, write an article, you know, then you'll have all the space you need to do it properly. Much better to have an article and a very short post that tells people you want to learn more, go here to the article, than to have this wall of text that nobody's going to see and you'll will have accomplished nothing with it, right? So
yeah,
want people to read it, make it short.
No, so, that makes sense. I like that. And I know that, you know, for those that do love writing, mm-hmm. and all of that, definitely. And I've heard that blogs are coming back and things like that. And the articles are starting to come back because people are enjoying reading. And that may be because COVID kind of brought some of that back in. but it makes total sense on that. And do you feel like, because I know that, especially with like Facebook and things like that, it does not like it when you add in another place for you to go. Do you feel like LinkedIn kind of changes it as well, or it's not as predominant?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely the case that you should not put a link of any sort, actually, even to something else on LinkedIn, which is weird, but any link in your post, inside of your post. So what you should do is say, you know, see in the comments, and then you can put more information in the comments. You can use the comments for links, for additional pieces, for attachments, for, you know, whatever you want, but in the post, don't use a link. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Makes total sense. I was just curious about that, because I know that I've had a couple of people warn me about that lately, especially with my podcast, and I'm like, dang it.
Yes. Yeah, no, and especially you're right, for a podcast. And, you know, there's all these different platforms where you can create really cool graphics or even animations, mm-hmm. right, that give the sense that the podcast is there, but then you go to the comments for the link. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Makes total sense. Well, thank you so much, Sophie. I've had a blast talking with you. This like has blown my mind. I'm going into LinkedIn to look at so many more things that I wasn't aware of. So one thing I do with all my guests is I always love to ask, what is a quote or a phrase or a piece of positivity that you could pass on to our audience? So do you have one for us?
Yeah. So what I can share with you is my motto that I go by every single day, every hour of the day, is be curious, be generous. I find that any situation you find yourself in, if you use either one of those or both together, it kind of really takes you to amazing places. I mean, you were talking before about looking at, you know, the person next to you in the traffic. And what you were saying was basically be curious, like, I wonder what happened, and mm-hmm. noticing, and then generous, like, I hope she does well, right? So same thing goes on LinkedIn. Be curious. Look at the content that's out there and, you know, interact with it. Be generous, share your knowledge. And every single situation that I find myself in, or, you know, conflict or whatever it is, I find that those two words have gotten me so far, and really, I love them and I go by that all the time.
I love that. I really do love that. And I do believe that, especially being curious, that really has changed the way that I operate and how I take things in. Even on a regular basis now, it's become such a habit that it's an automatic reaction versus a reaction of getting frustrated. I do want to know more in the beginning, which I do believe helps. So thank you for that. I love that. Be curious, be generous. So where can everybody find you, Sophie? How can they get in touch with you? How can they link up with you, especially if they wanted to work with you?
Yeah. So the easiest way is go to LinkedIn and put in my name, SophieLechner. And you'll find me there and connect with me. I love connecting with people. I love to have conversations. If any of your viewers wants to have a call with me, just connect with me. Tell me you'd like to get on a chat. I'd be super happy to do that. And on my profile, the featured section, if you click see all, there's about 45 little mini lessons in form of a carousel. That will give you tips and tricks on how to use LinkedIn that you might find useful to get yourself started.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you so much, Sophie. I'm going to go look at that.
There's also a quiz. There's actually a QR code in my banner for a quiz that is fun and sort of instructional, because as you go through the questions, you could kind of see like, oh, here are the things I could be doing. So that's another way if you'd like to try the quiz.
That is awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to be sending everyone to your site now. Thank you much, Sophie. It was a blast talking with you. So much information. And I love that you have this different perspective on a different approach of using LinkedIn and also being able to grow your business on different platforms. So thank you so much again. And to everyone that is joining us today, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. Please be sure to share, like, and subscribe so I can keep the good things rolling. And until next time, don't forget, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the dramatic difference it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.